an exciting morning each day of Vacation Bible School. Our kindergartners through sixth grade come in to this auditorium, and I mean it is about 30 minutes of wonderful, from pledges to the flags in the Bible to citing the memory verse and the theme mottos and some fun songs that the kids love. And then we sing some of these songs each day. There's a new song they're introduced to. And it's amazing how quickly they can learn all of these movements, all of these songs in just a few days. And then be able to have the confidence to come stand in front of you, which, believe me, I get to stand in front of you every week. But it's for a child to come stand and then to recite a Bible verse in front of a few hundred people, it's quite an amazing thing to see all of that happen. I again, thank you. Thank you for investing your time and your prayers and your resources in. And God has been glorified, and we surely appreciate and do not take for granted what God is doing in the life of these children. Someone showed me a picture today of a little child. We're talking about a small child. This morning they opened their Bible. They were on that couch reading their Bible, and they were singing that song, God's Word is True, the one that you heard. They were singing that song as they were reading their Bible. And I mean, just a tiny thing. Those seeds that you're implanting in children's lives will come to fruition for His praise and glory. It's our job to make sure they get access to that and to do it in the most exciting way that is reflective of just how good God's news, good news is. There's nothing, I had a youth teacher taught me. He was a youth pastor of a large church in Houston, Texas. He said, man, it is a sin to make the Bible boring. You know, if you're not excited about the life change that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, man, get out of the ministry. Go do something else. But if you're not excited about the power of God through faith, you can receive the life-changing grace of God. I mean, you don't have to climb Mount Everest for this. It's just turning your heart to God in faith, returning away from your sin and placing your faith in Christ. He blesses you with His Holy Spirit. You get to live life in the presence of God. Man, if you can't get excited about that, well, let me tell you something. Vacation Bible School is an exciting place to be. And I appreciate so much our leadership and staff for making that happen. You know, in life, too often we find ourselves having to face the hard choice. And there are hard choices we have to make that rub us the wrong way, that do not settle well with us. Our spirit doesn't like it. It requires sacrifice. It requires us to get honest with ourselves. And so our first reaction to a hard choice often is just justifying why we don't want to make the choice. I don't need to do that. I'm not really sure if that's the best choice or not. We justify. Well, then when it's painfully obvious to our pride that we're making the wrong choice, we will start procrastinating and avoiding having to make the choice. The old human heart too often just doesn't want to face the facts that you got to make some hard choices in life. And sadly, some people procrastinate their way through life to the point they harden their heart to the things of God, and they're in a state of denial. Their ears grow dull, their heart grows hard to God's call upon their life. We're in the red letters of Jesus' teaching and the gospel. And I want to talk about the road that turns to gold. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, as He concludes the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. Imperative, command. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Do you see the choices there? Every one of us will find ourselves at the crossroad of faith. What do you believe about Jesus Christ? What will you do with Jesus Christ? Will you follow him, or will you stay on your path of pride? You have a choice. At some point, you hear God's call on your life to follow me. Turn from your path of pride and come on this new road and follow me. It goes against your pride. It will wreck arrogance and conceit. It'll ask you to, pride will keep you from turning and saying, I am on the wrong path. I'm doing life the wrong way. I'm exalting myself. I need to diminish myself and exalt Jesus Christ in my life. Here we are at the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the sermon is written for the followers of Christ. You cannot do the teachings of Jesus Christ without Jesus Christ. I don't know why that is that complicated, but that's what it comes down to. You won't even understand much of what he teaches if you're not willing to open your heart and say, Jesus, come change me. Save me. Rescue me. Then his teachings start to make sense. When you come to him in faith, when you submit and say, Lord, you're Savior. I can't save myself. I can't forgive my sins. I'm not perfect. I can't meet the demands of a holy God. But you did. You defeated death. And when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, all of a sudden these teachings of Christ start to ring true to the new heart. You've got two roads in life. One road, each with its own entrance, and a choice to make. And there's only one right choice. There are not 10 right choices. There's only one right choice to take to walk with God, to experience the eternal life that he created you for. Can you imagine a father with 3 daughters and they're all getting ready? Soon, within a few years, they're at those ages of getting married, and he's preparing and saving because he knows he's going to be responsible to take care of his daughters, and he's thinking along what needs to be done in a few years, and he's putting aside some money, and they're out in a restaurant, and this young lady about the same age of his daughters comes up to him and says, sir, I see, are you the father of these girls, right? Sure I am. And he says to her, you preparing to do what dads do and pay for their wedding? He says, I sure am. Your father? Yes. They're your daughters? Yes. And she says, hey, you're a father, and I'm a daughter, and I need someone to pay for my wedding. Why don't you pay for my wedding? And he says, yes, I am paying for daughters' weddings, but you're not my daughter. You need to go talk to your daddy. Your daddy needs to pay for your wedding. Many people come to the Bible and say, we're all just children of God. Let me tell you something. God, we're all creations of God. We're all loved by God. But my friend, not all of us have turned back to God and say, listen, I am a child of God. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I follow Christ. Today's world does not want to accept that. They want to say, we are all, no matter how you live your life, no matter if you follow Christ, no matter if you deny Christ, we all must accept that the love of God, and we must also accept our faith in Jesus Christ. Our world does not do that. My friend, they will walk out on you in a heartbeat if you start saying, you must come to Jesus Christ to be a child of God. And you and I have to accept that. It's not a popular message. Jesus is trying to teach us clearly. There is the way that leads to eternal loss. There's the way that leads to eternal loss. For wide is the gate and broad, another translation, easy, spacious, is the way that leads to destruction, full destruction. And there are many who go thereby. It is first an enticing entrance. It is broad. It is spacious. It is wide. And that's what the devil makes it. It is as easy. All you have to do is just keep doing what you feel like doing. Just keep on following whatever you feel is best for you. You want your truth, you follow your own truth. Make up your own truth. It doesn't matter. If anybody criticizes you, just change your mind on what your truth is. See how wide the options are? And that is the way of the world. It is an enticing entrance. Not only that, it is filled with pedestrians, populous pedestrians. There are many who go that way. It is the way of the world. It is crowded with people who say, man, this is the place to be. It is a party happening over and over again. And too often, the world will simply say, whatever feels good, you do it, you're fine, and you will see the crowd going that way. But the Bible tells us the truth. There is a destructive destination. There is a destructive destination. The word destruction there in the Bible means complete. Complete. The end of that path that looks so easy. You don't have to do anything for Christ. Oh, you won't go to church every now and then and have Christmas tree at your house or have the Easter bunny show up and call yourself a Christian because everybody in America thinks they're a Christian just by being born in this country. That's not Christianity. That's not the red letter gospel. This Bible says if you decide you're going to stay on your path of pride, you can do it. If you want to reject Christ's call to follow him, you can do it. But the end result is what? Destruction. It is a place of perpetual pain. The Bible says there will be gnashing of teeth, weeping. It is painful. It's always interesting. We avoid pain at all cost in this country. Our culture does not like pain. We don't like to wait. I mean, think about it. It is not painful to wait, but for many of us, you would think somebody was going to have to take your left molar out of your head if you just had to wait a little while. We don't like it. We avoid that. But here's the reality. People who reject Jesus Christ and say, man, I don't want the hard choices. I don't want to have to follow Christ. You can choose that. You can avoid getting honest with yourself. You can say, I don't want to admit that I'm a sinner. I don't want to admit that I've offended a holy God. I won't just be popular. I just want to be content with, why can't God change the way he feels about morality and accept the way I want to live my life? Well, he's holy God. You are not. And the pain is going to be felt. Sadly, it's going to be felt in eternity, where death does not die. The old way of saying it in the first century, where the worm never dies, corruption never ends, decay never ends. What it's saying is death never dies. We know that. Jesus called that as the place of Gehenna. It's the place of hell. And the path that looks easy on the front end, where you don't have to deny yourself, you don't have to take up a cross, and you don't have to follow Jesus, you don't have to admit that you need him, and you don't have to place your faith and serve Christ. Oh, my friend, that road takes you someplace, but it ends in destruction. That's as clear as Jesus has made it. And yes, most people go that way. They have a hard time making any kind of hard choice. We put off, put off, put off, as if tomorrow will always be here. The good news that we've been teaching these children is there is a way, there is another path. And this road leads to eternal life, not eternal loss. And he says, enter by the narrow gate. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. It is a diminished door. Everyone is invited, but the door is only created by Jesus Christ. He is the door. There's not 15,000 different options to go down this path. You have to go through the one door. It's limited. It's diminished in choices. Thank God there is a way. Jesus didn't have to provide a way, but he did out of love, out of kindness, out of his divine kindness. He creates a way, and he creates a door, and he says, enter here. If you want to end up at the best place you'll ever know about, you've got to enter through Jesus Christ. The second thing, as we see, is that this is a limited lane. It is a constricted, the Bible says it's not spacious, it's actually limited. The New King James uses the word difficult. I don't know if you've ever been in a place that's really confining. I mean, so small you can hardly turn around. It just forces you to sit one way or to kneel one way. Or maybe there's really tall people in the back seat and you've got to move your passenger seat up. And literally the front dash of the car looks like it's right in your mouth. I mean, like, this is not comfortable. Very confining. Jesus says, this is a difficult way. I've always thought that Christianity got easier as I got older, that the temptations were not as severe. You know, you learn a lot more. Let me tell you what happens. Christianity gets sweeter, but it doesn't get easier. I'm not so sure at the end of your journey, it's not harder. Now, it's deeper. Your faith is more tested. But life gets hard as you get older. Care for an invalid parent when you are in your 70s too. And you've got to take care of your parent. Everything they need, you've got to do it. And you're a senior adult. I'm telling you, I've seen some things in life that are like, that is faith. Talking about faith, talking about having courage, talking about living life depending on God moment by moment. I thought I was doing that when I was a teenager. Oh, baby, let me tell you something. Life doesn't just get easier because you get old. You know more, yes. Your faith is stronger, yes. But I'm not so sure we're not also having to remind ourselves, Jesus said, if you desire to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This call limits us. It limits us. It gives us a clear path, a wonderful path, a life of abundant life in Christ, no doubt, a life of the spirit of love and joy. But hear me today, if you think you can straddle the fence, living like the world one day and then trying to live for Christ the other day, you are sadly mistaken about Christianity. It is a denial of self. It is a taking up of the cross and following him and him alone. But here's good news. The glorious goal. The Bible says that this trust and faith in Christ, though few find this way, and the door is only through Jesus Christ, it's narrow. And the way can be difficult because you're denying yourself in a world that says, serve yourself. Serve yourself. Explore yourself. Determine your own truth. In a world that does nothing but exalt ego at all cost, Jesus comes as a Galilean carpenter's son, born in a manger, and says, you want to be like me? Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Come through the door and follow me on this path. And if you do, you won't believe what awaits you. A glorious, glorious life. Eternal life. Heaven. Heaven awaits you. A life you can't imagine. This world can't even try to duplicate the glories that await. In fact, Paul said, yes, these difficult afflictions that you're enduring, thinking, Lord, this is hard. Why can't I just get away and not have to submit myself to you and not say no to all these harmful things? They sure seem fun. Why do I have to trust you? My friend, because the glory that awaits outweighs anything you will ever sacrifice in this life. It can't compare. These light afflictions, Paul said. I'm telling you, Paul, to call some of this stuff light afflictions is pretty challenging because, man, they about killed him every which way you can try to kill a man. And eventually did for the faith in Jesus Christ. And he said, listen, what I go through is lightweight stuff. It's Band-Aid stuff compared to the riches of Christ that await all those who love Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you today to recognize that Jesus calls us now to make this choice. Now. The time is now. Do you believe in Christ? You're at a crossroad of faith. Some of you are there and God is calling you. And he said, man, don't put it off. Now. When you look at this sermon in Luke's gospel, in the 34th verse of the 13th chapter, he says, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. That ought to wake you up. It woke me up again when I read it. Strive. He's talking to all of us. That's second person plural. You all, as we would say. You all strive and continue to strive. It's got to be done. Seek, find Jesus Christ and enter in. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. Enter through the narrow door. And many will hear the gospel. Many will hear the gospel. But they will put it off. And put it off, and put it off, and I don't want to do that now. Oh my! I feel bad. here's a pill. Why don't you take this pill? My older brother got it from one of his friends. This will make you feel better. No, 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 no. It won't hurt you. It won't hurt you. We're losing 80,000 young people a year to fentanyl deaths because some other teenager told this teenager that some other older brother got from a drug dealer that spiced that thing up with fentanyl and killing kids left and right. And they don't care. Somebody's making money, and we have got the hands of Pilate all over this culture. They know right and wrong, but they just wash their hands and look the other way while people are being crucified by immorality and evil in this culture. We've got too many hands of Pilate still in this culture. 80,000 young people dying of fentanyl poisoning. You and I have got to understand there are hard choices. And they're going to give you, the devil will give you the easy way out every time. The easy way out every time. I never loved them. If I hear that one more time. Well, when did you decide that after the third or fourth or fifth kid you never loved them? Well, we never really loved each other. Come on, people. The devil will give you every excuse in the world to take the easy choice and then tell you you won't ever have to have a hard time in your life. It'll always be easy. Friend, you're going to have hard and you're going to have easy. Which one do you want to have first? You want to take the easy road down here? I don't have to follow Christ. I don't have to submit myself. I don't have to surrender to Jesus. I don't have to sacrifice anything. I don't have to cry myself to sleep when I don't have anybody calling and nobody. I don't have to just keep trusting in Jesus Christ through the hard times in the valley. I want to take the easy road. You can have the easy road. But you're going to have the hard time later. And that one's for all eternity. Or you can make the hard decisions now, hard for the heart, to admit, I am a sinner, and I need the mercy of Jesus Christ to save my soul. If you will humble yourself and submit yourself now, the good stuff is coming. You're going to have them both. Which order do you want them in? Make the hard choice now. Take your stand for Christ in a world that uses Jesus' name for a curse word. Take the hard stand now. A religious world that wants to compromise the Bible on every hand. I was listening to a leader of a religious church. In fact, he is the world leader of the largest Christian group in the world. And he said, fundamentally, all people are good. Yes, there are few rogues and few sinners, but the heart is fundamentally good. And I thought to myself, buddy, you have violated the basic truth of Scripture. And you've gone on 60 Minutes and told the world you're basically good. What he was basically saying is, we don't really need Jesus. Oh, yeah, there's a few of us out here that are rogues and sinners. There's a few bad people, but we're all basically good. Everybody, everybody, everybody. Told us. Come on, people. The Bible says our heart is broken and wicked. Who can know it? But Jesus came to fix it, but you have to admit I need Jesus. But the religious world today wants everybody to like them. Not everybody liked Jesus. They put him on a cross and killed him. That's your leader. So if your idea is you want to be in the crowd, make sure you know where that crowd is headed. Because they're more than likely on the wrong path. You and I have to make the hard choices. But if you make the right choice, if you will make the right choice, my friend, you will end up in the right place. If you will trust Jesus, then you will live with Jesus. So which one do you make? The hard choice now, which has to humble your pride, receive Jesus, knowing that you then receive the heavenly life then for all eternity? Or do you want to just keep making the easy choices, just putting off? You do what you want to do, how you want to do it. You don't really need Jesus unless, you know, it's an American holiday. But the problem is, if you cannot deny yourself, you're unwilling to take up your cross and follow Christ as a lifestyle, then when you reject Jesus, you end up in a hellish life forever. Jesus Christ died so you don't go to hell. Jesus Christ paid the price so that we've got good news to tell the world. You do not have to lead a broken life ending in a life of eternal destruction. You can come to Christ and you can receive Him as Lord and Savior. Someday, the long and winding road will keep leading you. And where does that road end? Revelation 21:21 says it this way, in a glimpse of the New Jerusalem, the capital city of heaven, the walls of jasper, great. It's so glorious there, we can't hardly even compare it to anything on earth. Just had to take some precious stones. The gates surrounding the walls of the capital city, you enter in, they're pearl. The rider, inspired by what are the most wealthy, rich, beautiful things on this earth, why could we possibly compare them to this glorious place called heaven? And then he says, and the street of the city was pure gold. The road here may be dusty and it may be difficult. But if you will trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and follow Him, you will find the narrow gate and the difficult road one day turns to gold. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, today we ask, Lord, that you would call us to yourself, that, Father, you would call us to live a life of hope and joy that faces the truth, that acknowledges, Lord, that we need you, that, Lord, this life is but a prelude to the eternal life that awaits. And while there is joy here because of you, and while there's wonderful, great gifts that we enjoy in this life, the truth of the matter, it all begins with a hard choice. Admitting that we're broken and we cannot fix ourselves. Now, today is the day of salvation. For those who need to come and confess their faith in Christ, Lord, we pray you would call them and they would respond. To those who need a church home, to those of us who need a wake-up call, we've been trying to live in both worlds and we can't. We need you, Lord. We need you, Father. We need you. Call us in deeper. Call us to trust you completely in these areas of our life that we're struggling with. Whether privately or publicly, whatever the decisions, Lord, that need to be made, I pray, Father, we would take advantage of hearing your word preached and sung to touch our hearts today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand? Let's sing together. You come as the Lord leads you today.